Assalamualaikum and hello. This is Lisa. I'm your host of the Muslim Woman in Finance podcast. Welcome back for episode 2 of season 4. This is a long overdue episode. I was asked back in February of 2022 to speak on money psychology and healthy habits in the Clubhouse platform by a sister, Asma, who runs a platform called at Healthy Muslim Women on Instagram. And so I'm just going to dive right in and do a little bit of a summary on what was discussed during that hour to hour and a half of conversation. So this is in no way a triggering conversation. It's just informational. And as always, you should reach out to a professional, especially a medical professional that is familiar with your health history regarding food and dieting and so forth. But groceries is the biggest expense in any household. Usually it's a weekly expense. It may even be a daily expense. And, you know, it's very important to have that expense and a budget for that, because there are ways that you can save on food, but you also want to make sure that you're getting your food groups in, that you're eating healthy, and that you're providing nourishment to your body, because you need that energy to go about your day. So just a little brief overview of financial matters and money habits. You know, every one of us, every individual is affected by their peers, their culture, their family, their environment. And that in turn affects how you view finances. And there is this subject matter related to behavioral finance. You know, how people approach money based on their behaviors and their background and things of that nature. And that all affects the choices that you make. Every little choice, including your food choices. So all the things you do in your childhood, you either carry that in your adulthood or you do a completely 180 degree shift. And that's pretty remarkable when we consider how food is so important, especially within Muslim families, because of our culture and our history and so on and so forth. Food is definitely a big factor in how you go about and nourish yourself. But back to budgeting, what are some key categories when it comes to spending? Well, one of the biggest will be your rent and mortgage. That will be your largest expense based on a monthly budget. The next would be, and other expenses would be utilities, groceries, children activities, transportation, paying off debt such as student loans, car loans, having a savings, having emergency fund, setting aside money for retirement, credit cards, health insurance, car insurance, housing or rent insurance, things of that nature. So those are an example of some spending categories that you have. And, you know, there's always a cost and a time factor associated with what you're bringing in the home. So for example, if you don't have time to cook, you know, you're a busy soccer mom, or you're just, you have a lot of meetings throughout the day, you work late, you may opt to eat out a lot or go through the drive-thru of a fast food restaurant. That might be a big chunk of your financial budgeting. And associated with that is the time. It's just quick to do that. You know, I go and I just order and the food is ready in about 10 minutes or so, and then I can just go eat and go about my day. So time is a really big factor when it comes to the costs that we are tallying up in our budget. How are we feeding ourselves and what are we feeding ourselves? That's something to always kind of think about when we view our health and when we're doing an overview of our health. Women are living longer than men. I mean, the statistics are showing that women are living longer than men. So in the future, our health is going to be an issue. If we don't take care of ourselves in our teens, 20s, 30s, and 40s, that can be of a great disadvantage later in our 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, and so forth. So we really need to be mindful of what we're putting in our body now. Our body is a trust from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's an amana, and therefore it's this vessel that we should be mindful of taking care of that vessel. We have to figure out how to take care of ourselves in a meaningful way. And again, it goes back to in the later years when health care costs will be more expensive. The more that you, whatever you can do and be proactive about taking care of yourself now, it will be beneficial for you in the present and in the future. So again, being mindful of what we put in our bodies. Years of eating red meat can lead to a lot of buildup, and a lot of cardiologists talk about this when they examine the heart and heart-related disease and issues. They really put out that disclaimer when they talk about, you know, how can we get healthy? How can we prevent heart-related diseases? And, you know, in the Muslim Ummah, eating red meat is such a, it's such a big part of a lot of people's diets, whether it's chicken or beef or lamb and things of that nature. So again, it's just being mindful of what we're putting in our body and just kind of, you know, calculating, you know, how much of this am I eating? Is this good for me? Are there better alternatives? How much protein do I need in a day? Things like that can go a long way. I want to take you back to some stories of my dad. You know, my dad is an immigrant. He came to the United States in the late 60s. And he was really focused when he had children on having his children fit into American society as an individual and also, you know, fitting into American society as a family. So we actually ate a lot of processed foods growing up, which would include, you know, chips, sugary and colored drinks, so many things you can find in a package. And what was strange is that my parents were actually really good at cooking. And, you know, we had both cultural cuisine and junk food in the house. But the problem with the junk food, because we had so much of it and we were just so, you know, that came along with peer pressure, cultural pressure, environmental pressure. You know, what are the commercials on TV? I have to have that. All the other kids are eating that. That type of thing was going on in our household. But with related to eating processed foods, there were a lot of health issues in the household. For example, I had asthma, I had allergy, I had a lot of teen acne, I had a lot of tooth decay. And that was all tied into the diet we had at home. And it's not till my adulthood that I realized that. When I was really examining, you know, how I ate as a younger child and what kind of eating habits I want to develop for my children. So, and my parents were living paycheck to paycheck, but a lot of that extra money was being spent on junk food. You know, we definitely had a lot of money going to groceries. So, I'm just curious if any of you have had that type of, you know, recollection. And, you know, what was I eating as a child? How were healthy eating habits or just even eating habits formed in the household? And how does it affect me now as an adult? Now that I'm raising my own children, I'm really mindful of what they're eating. But again, you know, grandparents can get involved and kind of sneak in junk food here and there, which can be detrimental to what I want to do. And that's basically like a tug and war between parents and grandparents. But, you know, when you're living on this really conservative budget, you know, living paycheck to paycheck, the first thing that might have to be dropped if you're really counting pennies is a dental insurance. I mean, that might really be the first thing to go and not have in the household if you're really trying to cut down. And that can affect you health-wise because, as we know, dental health is so important to the function of our body, and a lot of what you eat can affect dental health. So if you're not getting the proper hygiene, you're not getting the, you know, 2 times a year checkups, it can really affect you in the long term because it's really important to take care of your teeth. And there is a link between dental hygiene and the rest of your body. And the reason I say this is because a lot of elderly people that I personally know especially are dealing with a lot of dental issues because they didn't go to the dentist when they were younger, they weren't mindful of what they were eating, and that was a long-term effect on their health. So that's why I really wanted to share that. Some really mindful tips that we can think of when we're thinking of dental health, for example, is, you know, for example, how much sugar content is in the food that I'm buying. For example, pasta sauce may have a lot of sugar in it if you're not reading the back of the labels. And so you might want to get something that has, you know, 0 or 1 to 3 grams of sugar versus 16 grams of sugar, or consider making it at home yourself. That way you can control the sugar content, because we know that tomatoes have natural sugar as well. Having more education on nutrition is so important. And, you know, now there are dietitians and nutritionists out there that you can hire to help you with your own healthcare guidelines. There's a lot of information online. I think sometimes some of the public schools also provide some information to the kids on, you know, the main food groups and how to eat a balanced, healthy meal. But, you know, the help is out there, and to hire that help is important, and it's available. Financial insecurity is also tied to food insecurity, and some examples of that would be, you know, eating halal meat. It is expensive. It doesn't really follow the regular meat at the grocery store guidelines when it comes to costs and processing and what the final amount is that you pay at the halal meat store, for example. In the USA, food insecurity is a big deal, and it's not talked about enough. Good and nutritious food is not accessible for those who need it. Small portions of the store, inside the store, if you see the layout, there's only small pockets of organic and whole foods and the regular big chain grocery stores. And so you'll see how the produce section and the meat section and the dairy section may not be as big, along with the organic, but the processed foods, there's just a lot of aisles dealing with processed foods. And just to be mindful of, you know, what areas of the store am I going to? Do we just skip the produce and vegetable section altogether, and we're just in the processing section, the processed food section? Kind of be mindful and see, you know, where you're headed, and try to, again, make some more balanced decisions where you can get a little bit of everything. What did your parents feed you? It goes back to your own personal history. You're going to feed off of that. You know, fruits and veggies, if you were exposed to that really early in your childhood, it can carry with you through adulthood. It's difficult with processed foods to break those habits if you're really attached to them. There is a longer shelf life of processed food, and there's a smaller shelf life of organic and whole foods and meats. And so that's also something to think about when you're doing your grocery shopping. Some people don't want to eat the same thing all the time. You know, some families don't eat leftovers. And I think, you know, if you want to try to save in the long run, eating leftovers is not a bad thing. Eating the same thing a couple times a week, 3 nights a week for dinner is not a bad thing. Maybe we weren't raised that way, but it's something to think about when you're thinking about food choices and, you know, how much am I spending and what ingredients I have on hand for food preparation, meal preparation. You know, where are we getting our food and how are we preparing it? That's something to question as well. There are healthier preparation tactics. Supplements and vitamins are always available, but they might not be cost effective to include because of budgeting, because they are expensive. It's really to, again, have a whole balanced diet so that you can try to get as much of that vitamins and supplements in your own meal diet as possible, so you're not depending on buying the supplements outside of the grocery store, for example. For children, you know, issues come across and where they have to eat what the adults give them. Healthy food is not always accessible. You know, sometimes the adults aren't there to help them with the carrots. You buy carrots and then you have to peel them and chop them and have them accessible for the child. And that does take time when you want to buy something organic or something that's already in a whole piece, like a carrot, for example, versus a processed carrot. So trying to come up with ideas to buy groceries, bring them in the home, and then set them up and organize them so it's easy for everyone to have access to them. that would help because meal prep is so important in addition to buying the groceries and choosing the groceries. You know, some tips for grocery shopping, you know, sign up for free memberships for all the grocery stores you go to, shop according to sales, according to what fruits and vegetables are in season, use digital coupons from other sites, use some apps to save, and I'll try to link those in the notes for the show, what type of apps that I use and what have been helpful for me. You know, spending $500 to $800 a week might be a really high-end limit for grocery shopping. And so some people have a much lower budget, but they might have a lot of people in the household, and they really do have to do some checks and balances on how they will grocery shop for the week, for example. So it's really important to do those calculations and crunch those numbers to make sure you're okay. Again, some tips, buying fruits and veggies in season, some drinks, you know, including milk and water and main drinks instead of sugary drinks for the kids and for adults. Kids, again, are exposed to other kids and peer pressure and what everybody's eating in school, and that can really affect them. So you do want to have a balance, you know, not banishing birthday cake from every party or something like that. There just has to be a healthy balance. That, you know, okay, today we'll have this food that you want to eat, but then we have to eat a more balanced meal the next meal, for example, because it's just not going to go away. With the advertising and the exposure to peer pressure, it's really hard to get kids to just eat the whole foods and the organic foods and the fruits and vegetables when there's so much out there that can entice them. But we want to just have a healthy balance. You know, the food industry has evolved in the last 30 years. There's more sugar and chemicals in the products. A lot of that has to do with making processed food taste better and also having a longer shelf life. So we just really have to be mindful of that when we pick products that we buy and bring in our homes. There are parameters in finance in how you eat. So, you know, some people are complaining that the halal meat is expensive. So what other alternatives are there? And, you know, that can be a challenge for some households. So that's just something to think about again when you sit down and do your budget, to kind of go over with everyone in the household finances and grocery shopping and have a discussion about it. And again, going back to, you know, when you go to potlucks or dinners or dinner party, and there's always that temptation to eat something that you know is not good for you. Again, having balance, you know, having control. In this society today, and it's always been like this, I think, celebrations are always with sweets. And that can be difficult for someone who's trying to get away from that. So again, just be mindful and have a healthy balance about it. Food allergies, you know, a lot of people are coming across with food allergies because their body is having reactions and they're getting tested and noticing, oh my God, I have all these allergies that no one else in my family had. But there's more disease and sickness associated with food. We have to realize that what we put in our body really does affect our body, and it may not be immediate. It could be long-term. There are more costs associated with specialized diets. So again, you have to really monitor the budget and how you can afford those things and maybe reach out to suppliers of specialized foods and your medical providers for ways that you can get discounts on these things. Drinking water can help with food control and intake. For example, drinking water before you eat, that can minimize how much you're actually eating for a meal. There is a heightened emotional feeling with food that can be disruptive. We have to have a balance. That's important in choosing to eat. For example, if you want to eat dessert at a party, you know, that's okay. You can manage to figure out how to modify your meal in another way for the future. We want to add more to our diet and focus, such as more veggies, more proteins, healthy snacks. We want to focus on textures, cold hot meals, the colors of food, focus on what we can have. There are many foods that are halal than haram. Try to eat regularly, schedule in snacks and meals, especially if you have a busy schedule. That's where meal prep really becomes important. Simplify the food making. You know, not every fruit and veggie has to be organic. There is a list out there of fruits that don't have to be organic. Frozen fruits and veggies are great for long shelf life, and that can also minimize how many times you go to the grocery store. I always say to my clients, before you go to the grocery store, shop in your pantry, fridge, and freezer, and see if you can make a meal out of whatever you have before you go out to the grocery store, if you're low on food, because you'll be surprised how you can save just for dinner that night, for example. Some sunnah acts in eating, sitting down, saying Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. There's a dua after eating. There is a sunnah ritual of 1/3 food, 1/3 water, 1/3 air for eating meals. Trauma, stress, and grief can make you lose your appetite, or the opposite. So just be mindful of that if you're going through a tough time. What are your eating habits like? And you can have a food journal to monitor what you eat during the day to see how your food habits are. You know, eating with your right hand and interacting with the textures of the food is also encouraged. Before shopping for groceries, make sure you're not hangry, which is that you're so hungry that you become angry. And also during Ramadan, it's probably best not to go grocery shopping while you're fasting. It just might save from some impulse purchases that you make. You know, before you go grocery shopping, do an inventory of your pantry, your fridge, your freezer, and also think about what you already have. Think creatively in using at-home ingredients. Stick to your list of groceries so you're not going through every aisle of the grocery store and, again, making impulse purchases. Eating slowly is recommended. It's really hard for kids these days, or even adults who have a short lunch break, you know, a 20-minute lunch break, things like that. So before kids go to school, you might have to kind of train them in the short lunch time so that they're exposed to it, so they're able to eat as much as they can. And even though we want to chew our food really thoroughly and chew slowly, it's hard to, right, when you have such a short time to eat. So just be mindful of that. There's a link to hunger and learning and our working, but especially for learning for kids, there is a link to that. And that's why a lot of the public school systems have programs where you can apply for free meal assistance for the student for breakfast and lunch. And, you know, it's really important to be mindful of that. Do you have the energy to complete your tasks? If not, did you eat? Did you eat a balanced meal? Things of that nature. Kind of think about those things. Some things to help for busy schedules is for grocery store shopping is curbside pickup. Using the apps, you can also do the food delivery services like Instacart or Uber Eats. Those all can help with saving you time. There's a peer pressure in eating out. You know, if you have like a group of friends that always do brunch on Sunday, and you know, maybe brunch is not your thing, and maybe you don't even have the means to do that every week. So just be mindful that that's not your thing and you can opt out of it. Ramadan, there's a lot of pressure for women to make 7-course meals and to cook like your husband's mom. You know, this can really cause serious stress and headaches for women. In the sunnah, there's that guidance of helping women in the household. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he did that. And men can help in other ways if they're not actually cooking. They can throw out the trash, they can clean up the dishes, they can set the table, and the whole household can actually get involved, not just the husband. There's not much discount at international grocery stores or halal stores or spice stores, so just keep that in mind when you're buying from those stores. It might be a good idea to invest in a second fridge to store meat and freeze other, you know, vegetables, fruit, bread. But just be mindful that the food is there and the dates that you put those in the freezer, for example. Some ways to contribute to minimizing waste are potlucks with the community, sharing in meals, Just be mindful of what you're throwing away. If you're giving food for the sake of charity and pantries, just be mindful of the expiration date and if you would eat that as well. You know, you don't want to give something to someone that you don't even use. You just want to be mindful of the other person's diet. So I really hope this was helpful. And if you have any questions or concerns or any comments about this episode, you can email me at lisa@hashemconsulting.com.